Okay, Paul is here, as in Whittington, as in Indo, as in movies, big screen, what's happening?
Two superhero films out this week, Dave. One is not very good at all, the other is extremely good.
Okay.
So we'll start with a not very good one, shall we?
Yeah.
Aquaman. It's part of the DC cinematic universe, which is the kind of poor relation.
They
unfortunately,
really are.
Yeah.
They got Batman and Superman.
They had.
They, do, yeah.
they Batman. No, Batman is complicated. Batman is between the, isn't it? I think, or was anyway. Warner's used to have Batman.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, they did have one great success with Wonder Woman, which was great fun. But
Wonder Woman.
But more typical of their output is Batman versus Superman and. Justice League, and which were very turgid, dark, heavy, long films. This guy Aquaman was introduced during Justice League, and he is this. I think his name. His name was Curry or something like Arthur Curry. But he is. His father was a lighthouse keeper. His mother was the Queen of Atlantis. So he grows
like a mermaid or something.
Yes, well, not really, but
a fish woman,
an undersea fish person. Yeah, she is played in this film by Nicole Kidman. He in that film Justice League, he looked like a sort of Led Zeppelin roadie. He drank beer and he looked like he had tattoos. I didn't actually see any, just a rough house person who could swim in the sea and so on. In this, we get a backstory.
Right.
His father is standing on the dock one evening and he sees a beautiful woman lying on the shore. It is Nicole Kidman, Queen of Atlantis. What are you laughing at? She's injured. He helps her recover. And as they do, Dave, they get frisky. And Arthur, they fall in love. That's what I meant. And young Arthur's the result. But his mother has to go back to sea and he grows up sort of neither fish nor man, as it were. He's unhappy in either medium, if you like. He's kind of dissolute until he gets this other sea princess, played by Amber Heard, turns up to tell him that there's big trouble in Atlantis. His
half brother is not in this movie, I'd say.
No, which is a good thing,
right, okay.
Always. But she tells him that his half brother, who's played by Patrick Wilson, is about to attack mankind on a pretext, and so Aquaman has to take to sea and fight down there. That's the film. The first part of it is not that bad, actually. It has a little bit of a sense of humour.
It's kind of long, isn't it? It's about 2.5 or something.
They're always... It's over. Yeah. It's 2 and a bit. They're always long. 2 hours 20, I think you're right. But it's just that whenever it goes underwater, they're obviously extremely reliant on CGI stuff, which is done reasonably well, but it makes it really hard to distinguish Fishman from Fishman and what's happening, and the film has no focus. And also Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, looks impressive, but he's not really all that good at acting, and Amber Heard is as stiff as a board.
So
it's not great, I have to say. It starts well enough, but people who love superhero films might enjoy it.
And was this meant to be the start of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose they always hope. I would imagine they would that there might be another one. We'll see how it
does. Do DC have a thing like Avengers where they're all in the one movie together to advertise all the other movies?
Well, Justice League.
Well,
Wonder Woman came before Justice League.
Will there be more Justice Leagues with him in it than?
I think they're making another Justice League one. Yeah. I think that the Fishman will return in Justice League 2.
Right.
So far as I know,
if a watery sort of segment is required, he'll be in it.
Oh, he certainly will.
Okay, fair enough. But this didn't really do it for you.
It didn't.
Should have been better.
And as I said in my review, I like swimming, so that wasn't the problem. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is a different... Do we need another Spider-Man film? The Spider-Man films, in a way, they kind of sum up the problem with...
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse. It's a terrible title. There's a colon in there, though, Dave, good thing.
That's good enough.
But the Spider-Man films sum up the problem with superhero films in the sense that they made... Well, there was TV films in the 70s or 80s, I think. Then they made the 3 with Tobey Maguire. Then they remade the first one 5 years after after the last one finished, and they're now remaking more with the third Spider-Man. But however, this is nothing to do with any of that, and it's a wonderful animation. It is so it's one of my films of the year. It's so clever, it's so beautiful to look at, and it tells the story of not the Spider-Man but a Spider-Man. If you like, stick with this. Mike Morales is his name, and he's a teenager in New York, beautifully rendered Manhattan, and he's just moved to he's Hispanic African American. He's just moved to a new school, because he's bright and he doesn't want to be there. And all this is happening when he's bitten by the prolific genetically modified spider, and he starts developing these powers he doesn't know what to do with. And then, Dave, a portal to other dimensions opens.
You're asking to wake up. Go on.
Yes. Paying attention? I'll be asking questions afterwards. A portal opens to other dimensions, and other Spider-Men come in. including an older Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man, who becomes his mentor. This makes this sound ridiculous and boring. It is anything but. It's impossible to make it sound as good as it is. It's a very, very good film. It's great fun.
Or maybe he's just not doing a very good job.
That could be. That could always be. And thanks for that. So this is kind of aimed at sort of 10 to 13, 14-year-olds, I suppose, but younger are okay. I brought my little six-year-old and his friend to it last week, and they absolutely loved it. It's a fantastic film.
Appeals to the 13 or 14-year-old in you.
Absolutely, yes, and grown-ups as well. It's very funny. Lots of jokes, little asides that you just hear as they're kind of walking off stage.
Check that one out. Spider-Man : Into the Spider - Verse.
Yes, indeed, okay. indeed. Beautifully punctuated, Dave.
Okay.
The
house that Jack built.
Have you heard about this?
That's Lars von Trier, isn't it?
I'm afraid it is.
He's out there. You want to watch yourself going through a Lars von Trier.
I second that face you just made. Lars von Trier is problematic.
He is problematic.
He's the sort of... a provocateur in chief of European cinema. He's always looking for notice, basically, as my grandmother used to say to me. And he has made good films. Melancholia was a brilliant film, but he's been accused of misogyny. I think he's more of a misanthrope than a misogynist. But this film is very controversial. There were walkouts in Cannes and so on and so forth. And it stars Matt Damon, of all people, as a serial killer.
And it will not be Matt Dillon, no.
Not Matt Damon. Matt Damon's in a different Lars von Trier film. Well done. Matt Dillon, yes. 80s, 19... That person from the 1980s, as somebody described him to me recently, he's quite good in it, but basically we see how he gets started. He's a kind of would-be architect, failed architect, I think, and he meets this woman on a road who's very bossy, unpleasant woman, played by Uma Thurman, and... He hits her with a tire iron or something and kills her, and that unleashes this kind of thing in him. And he seems to believe that it's art what he does. So his crimes become ever more elaborate, and he stashes his victims in a huge freezer. There's a religious aspect to it, because we get these asides where he seems to be talking to the poet Virgil on his way to Hades, I imagine. Lars von Trier is talking about his own films, talking about himself as usual. It's actually quite well made, but it is extremely gratuitously unpleasant for reasons that could never probably be justified.
You'd
want to A, have a strong stomach to go and see it, B, be a fan of his, but it is well made. It is interesting, I'm sorry to say.
That's the house that Jack built.
It is.
Okay.
Not so interesting at all is Mortal Engines.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
I did. Produced by Peter Jackson, but crucially not directed by him. It's based on the Philip Reeve fantasy novel.
A couple of things of what you said there, like just about water. Is it okay to stop conserving water now? That's from Soggy Bottom Boy in Cork. I have no idea where that's coming from. Another one says, Justice League was the worst movie of all time. Actually made me feel nauseous. Awful stuff to be avoided.
It is bad. A worst movie of all time is a different discussion, but it certainly was very bad and dark and dour. I agree. This is not as gloomy as that. Aquaman and
Back to Mortal Engines. Peter Jackson, yeah?
Yes.
He didn't direct it, though.
He didn't, and one wishes he had. It's sort of set 1,000 years hence after we invented these incredible weapons that destroyed civilization. This kind of, it's sort of quasi-medieval, but also high-tech, this civilization that has resulted. And cities have become mobile, sort of great giant sort of tanks. And the most rapacious of them all is London, which trundles across the middle of Europe. It's like a sort of a Brexiteer's fantasy, swallowing up European cities. And on board are a number of people, one of whom is Robert Sheen, who plays this librarian who thinks everything's fine until he meets this kind of vagabond and realises that something nasty's afoot. There's lots of CGI. Some of the CGI is very good, but the film, again, lacks a focus, and it's also very badly written.
And by the way, that last text from Soggy Bottom Boy in Cork, it seems it refers to the weather at the moment as opposed to an Aquaman. I thought it might have been an Aquaman thing.
It perhaps was just appropriate to the watery discussion.
Indeed, absolutely. Appropriate to the watery discussion. Is that it, or there are more?
And we probably can't stop conserving water because heavy rain does all sorts of damage, actually, doesn't it? Anyway, that's not my area of expertise but at all. Keepers of the Flame, which is a really good film, actually. It's an Irish documentary, and it's directed by Nuala O'Connor and was conceived by Dermot Farrator, the story, and it's to do with the opening up of the Irish military pension archives. Now, that sounds about as interesting as watching somebody as you intimated in the break, but it's actually really interesting because what that archive contains are letters from all the 80,000 people who were combatants in 1916 in the War of Independence and the Civil War, and they're looking for pensions off the state. Of the 80,000 of them, I think about a quarter or less than them less than a quarter actually got any. And to get them, and it wasn't a big sum, and to get them they had to go through all sorts of hoops and get testimonies. But what we find out is, like, we had this sort of monolithic stories of all those events. But here we have the people's stories. We have, you know, the stories of what happened to individuals, right, of the poverty that they experienced afterwards, of the trauma, because people often talk about great war trauma at the moment, but equally there was, of course, massive trauma from the War of Independence and from the Civil War. And all of that's discussed in this. It's a very interesting documentary.
Okay, fascinating. What's it called?
It's called Keepers of the Flame.
Keepers of the Flame. Okay, look out for that one. Okay, Aquaman is what... Oh, by the way, saw Aquaman last night and thought it was absolutely brilliant. Your reviewer doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, there you are.
Exclamation mark.
You are not the first person to say that.
I didn't say it. I haven't said it. Mortal Engines, The House That Jack Built, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Keeper of the Flame, is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, Keepers,
okay,
of the Flame.
Keepers of the Flame, okay. Paul, thank you very much indeed. Paul Whittington from The Indo. Good man yourself.
Thanks, Dave.
I want to mention a gig now that's happening this